Hello everyone, you're listening to Fun Friday, where we put away our textbooks, our word tanks, remember them? And then we talk to cool people doing cool things in Japan?
Yeah.
Well, we are. Andy is a cool person. I am joined again by Andy.
Woohoo!
How's it going, man?
It's been busy, I guess.
Oh yeah? Did something happen recently in your life?
I started a business here in Japan.
Wait, what? You started a business?
I did start a business.
You know, this is really weird, but I started a business too.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. What does your business do?
So my business is basically providing audio training for studios and universities.
Huh. My business does audio training too.
Wait, what's the name of your business?
Maru Audio Training.
Mine too.
Wait. Did we start a business together?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Bam. Now no one's listening to the podcast.
Yay.
That
lets the pressure off, doesn't it?
Yes. No performance anxiety when there's no one listening. Let me back up. You are listening, I think you all know, dear listeners, too. The Fun Friday edition of the podcast, where we talk about Japan-related stuff, and we have less of a focus on the language. So, allegedly, we're talking to cool people today. I'm not sure if that's true, but we're definitely talking about Japan. And today, we are talking about starting a business in Japan, because we started a business in Japan. The first question is, why? Oh, why? What were we thinking? So, why did we start a business? What led up to this?
What led up to that business? Well, we were both employed by a company that will remain nameless. And they were bought by a private equity company. And as happens, you know, a lot of people got cut. They closed down the Japanese office for the most part. And so we're at liberty. We are at liberty.
We were between jobs.
We were between jobs.
But it turns out we were between not owning a business and owning a business.
And let's talk about finding a job in Japan. When you're 50, It's hard to find a job in Japan. Is that ageism? Yes, class, it is. When you're 60, it's really hard to find a job. And so, you know, that's fine. It's what it is. I don't think that's specifically a Japanese thing, is it? But
it might be a global corporate thing.
It might be.
I mean, you know, to be fair on Japan, are Japanese people particularly ageist? Maybe in some ways it's the opposite. There's a reverence to people older than you, your elders.
I don't think it's ageism in terms of having older employees in the company, but I think that hiring somebody that's older and starting that off, I think they think, and I don't want to be too dark about it, there's just not that much time that we have left before our marbles start to fall out of our ears and we're pretty much useless. I mean, arguably,
as if
we're useless already.
As if we still had them.
As if we still had those marbles.
And there's a whole other conversation on, I guess in Japan, a bit of sexism. So if you are a young woman studying the corporation, you get asked a bunch of questions they wouldn't dare ask you in Europe or America.
I didn't know
that. Like, are you planning to get married? To which, I guess if you're in Europe or America, the answer would be it's none of your damn business. But in Japan, I think it's changing a lot. But again, the more traditional conservative companies assume as a woman, you have a specific life track or life path and you're going to get married. And so let's not invest in women and only employ the men.
Long story short, we've been, I think, looking for work for a while, and we've always kind of wanted to do this, and we jumped in a little bit. I'll be honest, for me, it was a little scary. Like, how do you start a business in Japan?
should you start a business in Japan?
I mean, I knew we should.
Yeah.
I knew we should. I just thought it was going to be a disastrously complex and frustrating process.
A Byzantine process, indeed. Because...
Labyrinthine.
Because my experience, and maybe, dear listener, people who have been to Japan for a considerable length of time, have run into Japanese bureaucracy, which traditionally has been a massive pain in the posterior. Just, you've got to have the right form, and you've got to write it incorrectly, and you've got to have all these really finickety little things that just make it an absolute nightmare. And my question to you, Andy,
yeah,
with Japanese bureaucracy, it was an absolute disaster when we registered, right?
You know, I'm going to push back on this a little bit. Maybe this is the beginning of the end of our company. but you know, it. I think what's weird, what's different about Japan is that some things that we as Westerners, as foreigners, think should be simple are more complex than we think they should be.
Yeah, that's but, right.
Dude, try buying a house in Japan. It's so easy. Compared to when I bought a house in the States. So tremendously easy. I couldn't believe it. It was getting approved the loan. No problem. 5 questions. Done. You know, getting, you know, all that stuff was super easy. And I'm like, okay, it's not like things are harder in Japan or easier in Japan. It's some things are harder than they are in the West. And some things are easier. And I would say that my fear and trepidation over setting up the company was far more than was warranted. It was an easier process than I expected by a good margin.
Actually, I agree too. It was a lot easier than I thought it would be. And
why were you complaining about it?
I was leading you up the garden path so you could, you know, disagree with me, you see.
Oh, you don't have to lead me up a garden path to disagree with you.
I'll just disagree.
Happens naturally.
I'll just disagree on principle. No, but I agree. It was surprisingly simple and painless. And that's not my experience with other things I've done, like applying for visas and things. Although I should say that was entirely my fault.
Yeah, no, and I think one of the things we want to talk about here is there are a few things that you should know going in. If you're thinking about starting a business or even joining a business, you know, there's a few things that I think you should be aware of about the landscape of how things happen. And now that, you know, we've suffered so that you don't have to.
Yeah, the things we've done so you
things
can avoid
we've done
them.
To start a company.
But I a quick caveat here. We're new at this, so we are not seasoned captains of a business, right? We're new at this, and we're just kind of relating.
You know what this is going to be?
What's this going to be?
It's going to be just like COVID. Remember our first COVID show? We're like, wow, COVID's been here for a month. It might be here for 2 more months. Boy. And then a year later, we were like, well, thank God COVID's over. And then a year later than that, it's like, I wonder when COVID's going to be over. So I think this is part one of our odyssey of being entrepreneurs in Japan.
Yet another podcast where we make terrible predictions.
Oh God, it was the worst.
So let's talk about how we registered the company.
Sure.
And maybe some different options that are out there.
Sure.
So we decided, since we were somewhat jobless, well, we were doing gigs on the side, but we thought, why don't we join forces like one of those battle robots? And then we can do what we were doing in our past lives, in the past company, but we can do it ourselves and better. It should be. So let's start a company. And the first kind of question that hit us was, what type of company should we create?
Yeah.
And there are various kinds of companies that you can incorporate. One is a GK and the other is a KK.
And what do those stand for, Alex?
Oh, here we go. Put me on the spot. So GK stands for Godo Gaisha, and KK stands for Kabushiki Gaisha. So the main difference, and correct me on this, because I think you've been going a bit deeper into the paperwork than I had, a KK, Kabushiki, Kabu means stock. It's a company that can raise funds through issuing stocks. Mm-hmm. So you can basically, you know, raise the funds you need by issuing stocks, people buy them, and you sail off in your new business.
Right.
Whereas Godo Gaisha is a relatively new kind of company. There were various types of company for, like, was it sole proprietor and...
Well, if you're going to be an independent contractor, if you're just going to go out and just be a freelancer, you don't need to do either of these things.
Yeah, you don't need to set up a company.
So you just basically say, I want to be an independent contractor. You talk to an accountant about it and they say, great, I'll do the paperwork. You're an independent contractor.
And that's pretty easy. But we decided to incorporate because we wanted to work with other companies, and you really need to be, you need to have a business bank account and to be registered for people to take you seriously, right? And so the KK is you start up a company, the startup costs are a little bit more. And then the GK, Godo Gaisha, is essentially a company where you don't have stocks. It's usually for usually smaller companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no issuing of stocks. It's maybe, well, as far as we know, it's somewhat simpler, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we talked with our Ben Goshi,
our lawyer,
when we talked to them, they were like, you can go with what we wanted to do. Two people working, we could have chosen GK or KK. Either one of them would have done. KK, as you said, is generally a company that has more room for growth, where you can add more people and you can open it up for stocks and you can do that. GK has a little bit of a ceiling to it where you're dealing with a small number of people. You're not opening it up for stocks. And they said, you know, two things to know is if you are a GK and you want to grow beyond a certain point, you're going to want to become a KK. Mm. And I'm like, does that take a long time? And they go, oh, yes. It could take up to 2 months. I'm like, no, it's not a problem. Not a problem. So you can always start off as a GK and then go KK. The other thing that our lawyer said, which was, that was interesting to me, is GK is kind of newer. You know, the Japanese government trying to boost the economy, so they made it an easier, kind of a lower bar for entry. It doesn't have, a GK doesn't have the cachet within Japan.
Right.
Of a KK. KK is a little bit more gravitas, right?
Yeah.
And a GK has not as much, right? It's not pathetic or anything like that. It's not a problem, but it doesn't have the, you know, that the history behind it. And since we work with international customers more than we do with Japanese customers, and the Japanese customers that we work for don't care, so we're like, okay, which is cheaper? And they go, oh, GK. And we're like, sold.
Yeah.
Because we're cheap.
That's true. And I think there are more kind of reporting responsibilities for a KK, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's more cost to start it up. There's a little bit more cost to maintain it in terms of taxes and stuff like that. And you do that so that you can grow in a certain way. Grow as a company, grow as a group of people, not grow in terms of revenue. Either company can make, you know, a GK or a KK can make as much money as they can make, right? It's just how the corporation is structured. And a GK is a simpler but more limited structure. But you can start off as a GK, change over to a KK.
Interesting, our lawyer said that if you wanted to change from a GK to a KK, there are two processes. One where you basically change the GK into a KK, which is one way. And the other method is to just drop the GK and start up a new KK. And apparently that second option apparently is a lot simpler.
Yeah, that's probably what we would do if we did that. By the way, which led up to an interesting conversation about company names.
Oh, right. So Andy and I were brainstorming all these names. What are we going to call ourselves? And we came up with 5,000 different terrible ideas. And then I think in a moment of enlightenment or crazed delusion, Andy came up with Maru. And Maru means circle. And so the name we decided on was Maru Audio Training. Now, my problem with calling it Maru is it's so short. Surely there were other companies that had the same name. And if you do a Google search, you will see there's like 50.
Maru Gardening.
There's a million different companies with the name Maru. So I was like, oh, well, this is going to be a legal problem. So we'll need to check with our lawyer about this.
Bengoshi.
And it's not a problem at all.
To quote what she said.
This is amazing.
You could call yourself Sony.
Or Disney.
As long as you have a different address, the name is not as important as the corporate address. So you can, and she said, but you wouldn't want to do that because of the confusion. To which I said, I'm going to call myself Tesla.
Yeah, right.
And then they started burning it up. So I figured Tesla probably wasn't going to be there. Maybe not.
It's a business opportunity that is no more. But no, so I remember talking to the lawyer and I said, but wait, hang on a minute. We can call ourselves anything. And I said, but how do you distinguish your company from another one? Oh, by the address of the headquarters.
Yeah, this is a country, I'm reminded, that doesn't name its roads.
Yes, so, right. Yeah. Doesn't name its neighborhoods. Yeah.
So it's not the same kind of place. So again, that was one of those things that was surprisingly easier. I thought, oh, we're going to have to choose a name that nobody in the history of Japan has ever chosen. Nope, not a problem. Just have to have it. And is anybody else living in the same place as your business is setting up? Nope, done. You could call yourself NASA.
Right, and not Andy. I got nothing. No, but yeah, it was so shocking in a good way. Really surprised, and that just made it a lot easier to do. Now, how much does it cost to set up a GK? And I'm talking in money, not in emotional cost.
Well, sleepless nights.
Yeah, right.
So. One of the things I was tempted to do was, okay, we go online and search all the material. And it's like, we can do this ourselves. We can do this. I mean, we've got the language skills. We know what to do. We're smart. It turned out, as soon as you start scratching the surface, there's a lot of pieces to setting up a company. Mm. And I think I'm going to speak for you, but I think we both agree that getting a lawyer to do the setting up of the business was overwhelmingly the right choice.
100%. I mean, technically you could do it on your own. It's just good luck finding exactly the right form, submitting it at the right time to the right department with the right stamp. Yeah.
Right. The process. So we got a lawyer and we consulted, we asked all the questions. They asked all the questions. They did all the background stuff, made it super easy. I think with that and the tax accountant setting up our tax identity with the city hall closest to the office, I think the whole thing was less than 500,000 yen, so which is about, in US dollars, maybe about $3,500,
which is not a huge amount of money.
Oh, God,
considering.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
So again, it was all surprisingly simple. And I imagine this would cost like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, like 10,000.
And take a ton of time.
And take six months.
Well, you know what it's like. You've gone to like the city halls to do your normal visa stuff.
Yeah.
And you go there and then you think I'm prepared. And you go there and you find out you don't have one thing. And then you have to go back home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you have to come back a week later and do it again. And I thought, oh, we're going to have so many days that we ended frustrated.
Yeah.
Because one thing didn't get stamped or whatever. That did not happen. Not once.
It was
super smooth. Now I'll take that and I'll give all that props to the lawyer. I think 100%. We picked up a good lawyer. It's not that hard. People are doing it every day, but I would say that if we had tried to do it ourselves,
oh, what a disaster!
The amount in extra blood pressure medicine,
would
have been more than what we're paying the lawyer.
Right, exactly. And the other kind of annoying thing is in the past with visas, I've gone in myself. I was like, okay, please tell me absolutely every single document and bit of proof I need to apply for this visa. And they give you a list and you get everything, you take it in and they say, yeah, but you didn't bring the whatever. I'm like, but I asked you. Yeah, but in this case. And then your head implodes. But we didn't have any of that. Surprisingly smooth. Let's talk about hankos. What is a hanko, Andy?
So this was one of those things that really shocked me. Is in Japan, you don't have a signature.
Mm.
Okay. So, you know, most adults and my daughter and, you know, most Japanese people, for important documents, I mean, anything really more than just like receiving a FedEx package requires an official signature, which is not your signature. It is a stamp. It's a
company seal.
Or no, you've got an individual one, right?
And an individual hanko or inkan, like a personal seal.
And by the way, interestingly enough, as soon as I got to Japan, one of the things that my wife made me do is get a hanko, my own personal one. But Alex, before we could sign the company materials, had to get a hanko. Because he just didn't have one. And so that was an official document that you couldn't sign. Your signature is not enough. You have to stamp it.
Not having a hanko, very bad form.
I could not, by the way, believe that you didn't have a hanko.
So
30 years in Japan,
so
no hanko.
I did have a hanko about like 25 years ago. And then I just
lost it.
I just never used it.
Lost your signature.
Don't tell everyone on the podcast. Yes, I lost it. I suck. And then I had to get it. So went to the local department store and they had a hanko shop, shop.
Yeah. A lot of them do.
A shop that specializes, well, all kinds of stationery and, you know, the typical incredibly high quality, beautiful stationery that people only dream of. And a whole section for personal seals.
And they're cheap. They're like 600 yen or something like that.
1,000 yen. Not much, like less than $10. And so you write your name in katakana. If you want to use ateji, which is basically kanji for your name, you can. But I find that tends to confuse the hell out of Japanese people. My old hanko used to have ogawa because my family name is Brook. Brook means small river. And so small river Ogawa. That was my hanko a million years ago.
Unbearable,
yeah, completely. And it just caused more hassle than it was worth because Japanese people would see it like, but you're not Japanese. So this time I did what a good gaijin is supposed to do, and I did arikusu. So my hanko says arikusu in katakana. That doesn't freak out the dear people of Yamato.
Now yours is plastic?
Yeah, and I think it looks like it was made on a 3D printing machine.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Doesn't yeah. I got a wood one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
High society.
And you know, back in the old days they used to make those out of ivory, and it's illegal to do that.
Yep.
Now because of the ivory trade.
Exactly. But you can
you can spend as much money as you want to on a hanko.
Would you like to spend $500 on a hanko? We have you sorted, sir.
We got it. No problem.
So we had to have our personal seals.
In order to sign the official company documents. So if you don't, this is what you're going to need. If you don't have a hanko, you'll have to get one. You can get one at the store. It's not a problem. It's not expensive.
It's pretty easy. Then, after setting up the company and getting all the documents like the articles of incorporation, all that good stuff. We also got the company seals for our company.
Can I tell you, I've been married happily for over 20 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have a daughter who's now, she's also 20 years old. So I don't think I've ever impressed her.
I've never impressed my wife ever.
I've impressed her with things that I've done, but I haven't impressed her in my ability to live in Japan. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not doing a bit. I think she's like, oh, you're almost one of us, right?
No, but it's like, you know, you know your wife or our wives are talking to their friends and colleagues. Oh, does your husband have his act together? No, not really. Yeah. he can barely function in this society.
but I saw a level of appreciation. It's almost like when you learn to use chopsticks, right? Like,
oh,
it's like okay, this is something that's impressive. You, in fact, we now have something that our wives don't have. We have corporate hankos.
You showed the hanko.
Oh yeah,
to your wife. And then what was her reaction?
She was like, wow, this is really Segoy. And she looked at me and was like, and I know what she's thinking. She's like, I didn't know you had it in
there. Yeah, right. It's like in Planet of the Apes, like they can talk. It's literally, yeah. So my wife, she was quite impressed. She thought, oh, you can somewhat function as a semi-human being.
Maybe I don't regret marrying
you. Maybe I don't regret marrying you after all. Now, we have, getting into the weeds here, 3 hankos for the business. So, okay, just to go
and
back.
This goes back to Japan being needlessly complex.
Needlessly complex. Just to recap, we've got our personal hankos, our personal seals that we use.
One of each.
Okay. Yep. Then there's 3 more hankos for our business, 3 of which, one is a square hanko, and this is the explanation is so cool. This is our casual seal.
Yeah.
For casual use, such as invoices. The other one is a round seal, and this is kind of a larger round seal, and this is the registered seal. This is official seal to be used for important documents. This is the seal on the seal certificate. So this is when you're maybe making contracts with another company, mm-hmm. basically big, important stuff.
By the way, so one of the things you use for a hanko is this is something I saw our old company do, is if you have 2 documents, 2 copies of a document, here's what you do. And this is cool. Happen the first time, you're like, oh, now I get why they use a stamp. So what they do is they take these 2 documents, they're two copies of the same document, and they lay them side by side right next to each other. Okay, so you've got 2 pieces of paper right next to each other. They're not overlapping. They're right exactly side to side. And then what you do is you stamp it so that half of the stamp is on one of the copies and half of the stamp is on the other, so that you've just verified that you have basically marked your territory like a cat.
Something like that. No, I mean, it proves that you've got like the magical half of the seal. So
it's like a legitimate copy, and I've blessed that copy by stamping it live.
But without meaning to make fun of our dear Japanese friends, I mean, Japan is it is the culture of the seal, of the hanko, right?
It's a paper culture too.
It's a paper culture. Talking to cats, is our cat, he's coming in and causing trouble here. Hello. His name is Shasha. Shasha means hiss, because when we found him, he was a stray cat. He just hissed at us, but now he's very lovable. The third seal, the third and final seal, it's round as well, like the second one, but it's a bit smaller. And this is our bank seal. And this is to be used when opening a corporate bank account, which
It
hasn't been stamped yet.
Yeah. I don't think it can be stamped. By the way, the registered seal has a kind of cute little cover on it so that it's protected and so it doesn't get scratched or bumped up. That's cool.
And it comes in this like nice black case with a velvety inside. It's very, very cool.
Don't lose it.
I won't lose it. Don't worry.
You did lose your hanko before. I'm just saying, don't lose it.
Don't worry. Second time lucky.
Sure. That's how the saying goes.
Andy.
Yeah.
You know what I've been wanting to talk to you about for a long time?
Oh, I've been waiting for this day.
The fiscal calendar. I think we should talk about the fiscal calendar.
Sure.
Yes. So the tax year, would you say, the financial year in Japan?
And the academic year?
And the academic year starts in April.
It does. Now, your company can start any month that you want, but typically the financial and the fiscal years and the academic year starts in April. And I asked Junko-san, my wife, I said, so why doesn't, in Japan, everything starts in April? Why don't you start in January, the first month of the year? And she goes, because she thought about it, because I don't think she'd been asked that, because why would you? And she said, I think it's probably because it's spring, and spring is the beginning. And I'm like, you know what? That makes all the sense in the world, because Japan is, at the end of the day, a culture that is very in tune with nature.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, of course, that makes all the sense in the world. It's whatever month, you know, it's because April is Hanami. right? And, I mean, that's the beginning of spring.
And also, I think, like, the influence of Buddhism from China, because they use the lunar calendar. The Chinese New Year is in, depending on the year, it's usually in February or a bit later. And so spring is not traditionally seen as January.
Yeah.
It's still just, I don't know, it's the middle of winter still. So, yeah, April. So Japan comes up, becomes a hive of activity in April because, as you rightly said, it's a new academic year. It's the tax year, the start of a new tax year. So a lot of businesses do all their hiring for April 1st. Mm-hmm. So you have all the graduates from university who are going around doing interviews in kind of February and March. And then you get the final notification that you've got the job or not.
A good friend of ours, by the way,
yeah,
who got also laid off by our company, is starting his new job on April 1st.
And so happy for him. Yeah. That's so cool. And he's such a good guy.
Such a good guy.
And he's got skills. He's got experience. So I think we got a bit dark about our employment situation last year and the year before. And it was quite a negative time. But to see our colleague who got fired find a new job, and he's a good guy, the little kittens in my heart have been replaced again. They're back again. Yeah. I have a shard of sunlight.
there is good in the world.
There's a tiny slither of gold around that dark cloud. Oh, don't get me started on corporations. But anyway, of which we just created a company, so we can
join the evil cadre of abusers.
Woo!
I'm going to need you to work on the on the weekend. By the way, I'm just wanted to mention that
about the TPS report.
TPS. Yeah, could you work over the weekend? That'd be great.
Can I keep the red stapler because I really need it? You know. Anyway, what movie was that? Office Space.
Office Space.
Office Space quotes aside, Japan is super busy in April. And also because everyone's getting their new job, they may be moving.
Yep.
So there's just loads of activity, people moving house. April's a busy time. And as a business, you need to get all your tax documents and payments done.
In March,
actually.
So one of the things that when you live here, even if you're not starting a company, is if you're paying your own taxes, if you're an independent contractor even, you have to pay your taxes in March. Mm. And the reason why that's important is because your property taxes and your medical insurance and all that stuff is based on how much you made the previous year.
So imagine if you had a pretty good salary and then you got fired and then you had no salary, you get taxed as if you were making that salary and you have no job.
Yeah, no, you definitely get hosed. That first year is going to be a rough one. But once you make it past that, then it'll be better. But this is the thing. It's like it's the busy time of year. If you know, March for a tax account, super, super busy. April for hiring, April for people changing jobs. That's a brand new, it's a time of renewal. Right.
March is not a time your Japanese friends will be free.
Nope. It's not happening. But April's kind of, everybody just kind of clears their throat and it's like, we're starting a new year.
Plans for the future, Andy. We're just at the, we're not at the end of the beginning. We're at the beginning of the beginning.
This is not the end. This is not the beginning of the end. This is perhaps the end of the beginning.
And the end of everyone's patience listening to this podcast.
Yes, they're already gone.
They didn't even listen to the beginning.
No, what you know, I mean, honestly.
Goal number one is survive this year and don't go bankrupt.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. As any company, it's like the first years are going to be a lot of work. It's going to be scary. It's scary, but it's exciting. And I feel good about it. I'm optimistic. We've had some good meetings. Everything seems to be pointed in the right direction. We're going to be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
It's fine. Picture of dog in room with everything burning around it. No, I agree. I concur. I am a little bit nervous, but more excited.
Yep.
And looking forward to the year ahead. I think if we weren't nervous, we'd be insane. A bit of nerves is good. Keep you on your toes. But generally speaking, I think we're very lucky to have great contacts here in Japan. We know some really cool people. with crazy knowledge, skills, and experience who are in the same area of business that we're doing.
Yep.
And I think it's going to go well.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the how can somebody start a business, the podcast topic, people are starting businesses every day over here.
Yes.
And I think what I've learned is that society and the Japanese government is supportive of that venture. And they're doing things to make that first year as easy as possible. You know, so there's special exemptions that you get. I think everybody has been super, super supportive.
Oh, 100%.
Not just individuals, but the government offices, our lawyers, everything seems to be like, yep, go for it, gambatte. And I think that Japan wants more of this. So come on over, start a business. It'll be fine. Nothing goes wrong. We promise.
quick legal disclaimer at the bottom here. I would agree with that. I think so. I think, generally speaking, massive sweeping generalization alert. Generally speaking, Japanese people tend to be, not everyone, but tend to be risk averse. And being a stereotypical salaryman with a, well, maybe it's not so true anymore, but like traditionally you would have graduation to grave employment. Right. It would be safe employment.
Those days are kind of ending.
And those days are kind of ending. And I think young Japanese people are thinking, well, my dad and my granddad sacrificed their life to the company, but you could kind of understand it because you had a very, very secure job. The salary was probably okay. And so the equation, it wasn't a hard one. And you could look after your family. Now it's salaries have stagnated. Life employment is getting,
it's getting rarer. It's not as attractive a concept as it used to be.
It's not as attractive as well. And I mean, there are myriad reasons, but I think young people are thinking, do I really want to be a salaryman? And I think also the Japanese government is looking at a country like America and seeing that it's more entrepreneurial, and they're kind of thinking, yeah, we need to kind of pick up the pace, you know.
I think there's a lot of things going on that mean that the work culture in Japan is starting to westernize in some ways, right?
In some ways
it'll never change, but in some ways it's starting to. One is, I think you're right that the young people are saying, I don't want to work for the same company for the rest of my life. I want to be able to grow. I want to be able to change. I want to be able to make these kind of decisions. And there's a decent amount of gig economy going on right now.
Right.
You know, 100%. For Japan at least. The second thing is that when I got laid off, when you got laid off, when we told our Japanese friends, they're like, oh my God, what did you do?
Yeah, no,
it's still kind of shocking.
There's a stigma to it because, again, traditionally, again, not so much these days, but traditionally you would have a job for life if you work for a corporation. And so I think there's still this kind of ingrained, not attitude, but kind of reaction to, I got fired, and like, oh, who did you kill?
And it's an American company. And as soon as they heard that, like, an American company. There's no guarantee they'll lay off, you know, and that's not an unjustified stereotype.
But the funny thing, I was talking to a friend about this, guy said, well, this Japanese friend was saying to me, yeah, but I mean, I know American companies like that, but the benefit is you have a much higher salary in an American company in Japan, right? And I was like, yeah, about that.
But I think that, you know, there's more people in Japan than ever that work for multinational companies.
Yeah.
And those multinational companies, even if it's a KK that works as a subsidiary of a global company, that's not a Japanese company. That's an American company or a German company or a Western company.
Right.
And you don't have that same kind of protection. Trust me on this.
Yeah,
you don't. Right, it is not really a Japanese business. And the second thing is that you're right. The Japanese businesses are feeling the crunch of the more more competitive global economy.
Yeah.
And you start to see things happen even at the traditional Japanese companies, that's almost like, this used to only happen outside Japan. It never happened in Japan, but now that's changing. So it's changing from the employee's perspective, or saying, I don't want to work for a company for the rest of my life. You're seeing it from the company perspective, like, I don't want to hire you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, right.
You know, so things are changing a bit. It's not terrible. It's still a great place to work. It's still a great place to live. It's just a slightly less stagnant, maybe static.
I wouldn't say stagnant, but it's a little more static. Yeah, I think static is a better word, because you like a CNN report, like Japan's economy is in the dustbin. It's like, yeah,
it's not.
It really isn't.
It's not growing as fast as other companies, but it's not going down either. It is a very, very stable society and economy, but it's less than it was, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago. So things are changing, right?
Things are changing. And I think the other thing that's kind of really hitting, for example, choose an industry like car manufacturers, they're realizing that up until now they could rely on domestic sales to stay afloat and make a profit. And it's like, no, you've really got to start marketing abroad. And traditionally, well, Japanese have always been exporting cars, but like there's so many other industries that like it's almost like it's too much of a hassle to do business abroad. But now companies, for example, like my wife's company, which is an engineering company, they're really trying to like move into Asia. And the issue that they've had is like their sales staff don't speak English or Chinese or any other languages, and so they're really having a difficult time. So I think that a lot of Japanese businesses are looking outwards a bit more than they're being forced to, more than they have. And part of that, I think they were starting to be more entrepreneurs, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit more of a Western approach towards
slightly
profits.
Slightly more. Yeah. So, I guess next time.
Well, good luck with your company, man.
Good luck with your company, too.
Oh, thank you. What a guy.
But it's good. I'm looking forward to it. Andy, これからもよろしくお願いします。Anyway, dear listener, that was our strange guide to setting up a business in Japan. We'll get back to you shortly.
We'll let you know in all the ways that we were wrong.
Yes, we'll let you know how we were completely wrong. Hopefully we'll be older and wiser and let you know.
We'll be older.
We'll definitely be older. What was that Mitch Hedberg quote says? Oh, this is a picture of me when I was younger. Wait a minute. All pictures of me were when I was younger. And with that, thank you for listening to the podcast. We will be back soon. Andy, arigato gozaimasu.
どうたしまして.
That was good fun.
That was good fun.
That was a fun Friday.
Okay, if you say so.
I do.
All right.
Cool. We'll be back soon. Have a wonderful weekend. And よろしくお願いします. Mattane.
Matango.